He's just absolutely amazing, amazing individual. And by the way, this is not embellishment. Right now, he is sitting at the number one spot in the state of Utah for performance club points for this month. I smoked all of ya. All of you, go pull up your back office tonight and look at the performance club points. We're only 8 days into the month, and he's ahead of everybody else in the state. So out there, leading by example, okay? Thank you, Andrea. Thank you. I appreciate the applause for Mr. Hughes. I'm glad that you appreciate hard work. Okay, that's awesome. But I have a little bit of an advantage, and he had alluded to that, to his brother, Dr. David Hughes, is my brother-in-law. And so I knew the Hughes brothers when they were white trash. Okay? And that's no joke. I have spent many of four-wheeling trips and family events sitting around talking about the good old days. The days when other things happened, and we'll just leave it at that. And just literally laughing our heads off about the story. And, you know, a few weeks ago he posted his story on Facebook about the skunk that was in his garage. A lot of you probably saw it. And dude, I was just laughing my head off reading that story. I was just like, yeah, the personal development is good on stage, but you scratch the surface, it's white trash again. Okay. And you'll have to have him tell you that story. It's just, it's hilarious and stuff. But I'm going to show you a video clip of Mr. Chris Hughes from back in his hood days in Fort Worth, Texas. Okay. Where, y'all familiar with the show Cops? They happened to be in Fort Worth filming when Chris was being Chris. So let's go grab that. Light. This goes to show what personal development can do for you. I think there's nobody more qualified to teach on how to go from there to here than Mr. Chris Hughes. Give it up for Mr. Chris Hughes!
Oh, yes.
Luke.
All right. Yeah, start your notes with that. I can change. See, if you're a crocodile, there's very little that you can do. You're just a crocodile. You roll around in the water and the mud and you eat gazelles. And there's not a whole lot more that you can do with your life. So anyway, yeah, so those two guys were friends of mine, and they wanted me to go to a Ranger game. And it was Sunday, and I thought, I said, well, how about y'all come to church with me, and then I'll go to the Ranger game after church with y'all. And he said, okay, sounds good. So a little background story. One of those guys in the front, Rick, he was notorious for taking people's things from their car and from their bedroom. So I had that gun, was mine, and it was a little, you know, CO2 BB gun, looks like a 9mm, I think. I don't know guns. And it was on my dresser one day, and one day it wasn't on my dresser. Well, he used to take my shirts out of my closet. He'd take my shoes. And I'd see him at school and be like, that's my shirt. He's like, bro, it's not your shirt. I'm like, you don't have a shirt like that. I do. Mine's missing, and you're wearing it. I mean, the guy was out of control. I think there's something wrong with this mic. So, anyway, so I ask him. I say, hey. I say, hey, did you take my gun? And he said, I said, are you sure you didn't take my gun? Because you said you didn't take that one shirt, but you did. And you said you didn't want to take that one shirt, but you did. And you said you didn't take my ropers, my boots, but you did. And he's like, no, man, I didn't take your gun. So fast forward, I say, I'll go to the Ranger game with you all if you come to church with me. And they came, and we left church a few minutes later, or a few minutes early. And we're driving home. We almost got in an accident. My buddy's driving his car, Rick, and he slams on the brakes. And when he slams on the brakes, something hits me in the foot. And I look down, and it's my gun in his car. And I said, man, you are a sorry sack. I said, I asked you if you took my gun. He's like, no, man, it's not your gun. I'm like, this is my gun, man. So I grabbed his hair, and I stuck this gun to his head while we're driving down the road. And so that lady that you saw, she's watching this, and she's got an infant in the car, and her infant's crying, and she's all scared. And what we didn't know was happening was my buddy Jeff was in the back seat of the car, of our car. And so we're driving down the road this way, and he's looking backwards at this lady, and he keeps looking back, and he says, help. And we didn't know that was happening until after the police had left. They came, and so the police, y'all saw the rest of the story, and It was pretty funny, because once we realized we weren't going to jail, we started messing around, and we were doing, like, we were down on the ground, the camera's on us, and we're down on the ground, like, trying to do, like, GQ poses like this, you know, and, you know, trying to get our picture made, and they cut all of that stuff out. But this, a couple of interesting points about the story. That police officer that pointed the gun at me was put on probation for doing that. Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah, we have a police officer. So what did he do wrong?
Well, he's threatening you that you will be accused
of. Exactly. So he said, what you did to him on national television was worse than what you were, you know, getting mad at him about. He's a kid. You're a police officer. You've been through the, you know, what do you call that? The academy. You've been trained. You know you don't point unless you shoot to kill. And you knew it was a BB gun. You knew there was no threat. And you pointed this gun and da-da-da. So they put him on probation for a while. Another thing is that same police officer, they all wanted to be on Cops. This is a big deal for them. I didn't want to be on Cops because I was about to be a missionary. And I was thinking, I don't want to be knocking doors and people think, you know, they go, I know that guy. I know that guy. How do I know that guy? America's Most Wanted, you know, and call the cops. So they came up to my buddies and they said, you know, sign this waiver so that they could show our faces. And they came up to me and they said, did you sign the release form? And I said, no, I didn't. And they go, well, you need to do that. And I said, no, I won't be doing that. I'm not going to sign the waiver. And that same cop that pointed that gun at me pulls me aside and he says, I have two warrants for your arrest that says you will sign it. Total, like, is that blackmail? What do you call that? I don't know what you call that. But I said, coercion. I said, yeah, thank you. I said, what do you mean you got two warrants for my arrest? He goes, well, I got this right here for you ran a stoplight on such and such a date and you ran a stop sign on such and such a date. And these are old tickets that I had conveniently forgotten about. And I said, so if I sign this, what does that mean? He goes, it means I'm not taking you to jail. And I was like, go on, give me that form, you know. And I signed my rights away, and then it ends up on Cops. So you can see now why Legal Shield made so much sense to me when it showed up in my life. Oh, yeah, this is awesome. I want to do it. So let me tell you the skunk story, and then we'll get to work. So I don't know about y'all, but I think skunks stink. When they spray that stuff, how many of you just turns my stomach? It's so disgusting. Well, our garage, we've had a skunk spray in our garage two or three times. so far. We live out up in the mountains in the kind of in the country. And so I have this pent-up animosity towards skunks anyway. And then one day, my dog's in the garage barking. My son is like, "Dad, we got a skunk. And I'm like, "Get out of there. Get away from there." But my son wouldn't listen. He's going over there. And my dog's trying to protect my son because that's what he does. And so he's between the skunk and my son, and he's like jumping at the skunk. And the skunk squirts my dog all over the face. And so now, I just spent $50 on grooming the dog, so I'm really got some animosity now. And so I run in the house, I get my gun, and the skunk ran off. So all day my wife's like, what's the matter? And I'm like, I just can't get over it. She's like, I want to kill that skunk so bad. And I'm not a violent person, and I don't hunt, and I don't do any of those things. Not that that makes a person violent, but that's just not what I do. So that night I put some cat food out. I mean, my wife is so smart. I put tuna fish out in the middle of the driveway, and we live on acreage, and we don't have any neighbors over there. So I put tuna fish out, and she says, he'll eat that real fast. You should do cat food for a couple reasons. Number one, it's going to take him longer to eat. Number two, while he's crunching, maybe you'll be able to sneak up on him. He won't be able to hear you as good. Great idea. So put some cat food down there. So I'm messing around in the kitchen, and sure enough, later on that night, here comes a skunk, and I've got a brand new 22, So I'm messing around in the kitchen, and my wife says, "If you'll check for the skunk." I said, "No." And a couple minutes ago, I looked. She went outside, and she's like, So I run, and I get the gun that's already loaded, and I go out there, and it's, I skipped the whole first part of the story. This is part two. I'm sorry. This is part two. I'll tell you part two in a minute. Part one. So the skunk is in my garage. I go outside to see how things are going. This is after the dog squirted in the face. We get everything situated. That night we go down there, and I hear this crunch, 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 and it's a skunk in my garage eating our cat food. And so I run, and I get the gun, and I'm out there, and I can see him, and the light's on in the garage, and it's really dark outside, and I'm like, I need a flashlight, because if he leaves the garage, I won't be able to see where he's going, and I got to get him. And so I'm texting my wife, bring a flashlight. And I didn't want to leave because maybe I could get a shot off and get the skunk, so I would just feel stuck. What do you do? I need a flashlight, but I don't want to leave. Well, she was nursing the baby and didn't have her phone with her. And I'm like, what's the matter? Bring me a, I need one. Come on, throw it off the balcony. She never did, and he starts moving. And I'm like, I got to do it. I got to shoot in my garage. Because once he leaves the garage, it's pitch dark. I couldn't see anything. So he starts moving, and I shoot, and I just expected that he would fall over, but he didn't. And so I shoot again, and nothing happens, and I shoot again, and I hear water trickling, and we have some water barrels in our garage, and I got one. And then he just kind of walks out of the garage, and I'm out of bullets, and I just, So I didn't sleep all night. I'm so mad about this. And the next day, then we set this thing up out in the driveway. And my wife's like, he's out there. And I grab the gun. I get this spotlight on my head. And it's super bright. It's like 1,200 lumens or something like this. And you can pull it, and it like focuses the light. It goes right there on that little. And I shot, and he kind of looks up and around. And he starts moving. And I shoot again, and I shoot again. And then he goes off into a little drainage pipe. And I'm like, I don't get mad. I almost never get mad. Like, I've been mad 6 times in my whole life. And my blood is boiling. I want this skunk to not exist anymore. And so I go back in, and I have to get more bullets. And I go out there, and I'm laying down on the ground. I'm looking in this drainage pipe. And he's way back there on the other side. And so I stick my gun down there. And I hear it ricochet through the canyon. Oh my gosh, it's so ridiculous. And I can see he's on the far end of the drainage that pipe. So I go over there and I start throwing rocks. I'm straddling this pipe, and I'm laying on rocks trying to get him. And then this he does what he does. The smell goes everywhere. And so I start running, and he scampers off, and I haven't seen him since. So my wife is like, how did you miss him, that little pipe? And I'm like, I didn't miss him. Have you seen him lately? I haven't seen him lately. So those are all my gun stories. All right, let's get to work. Now that I've turned off all the PETA members in the room. Okay, I want to have some fun. Can I have your permission to do that? See, I have one critique about Utah, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you what that is. Will you forgive me if I tell you? So Utah, I would describe Utah in these settings and others as reverent. Reverent. I lived in Texas my whole life. I lived in Southern California for 10 years. And when I come here, the crowds are just so ultra-conservative. And, you know, even when the joke is funny, it's like... And it's like you got to look at your neighbor to get permission to just let it out, all right? Can you all just let it out? Is that okay? Like, I want to have fun. This isn't church. This isn't even a corporate meeting. This is we're all our own bosses. You're not going to get fired. No one's going to judge you. We're here to have fun and learn how to make some money. Is that all right? Okay. So today I've got 2 hours left, and I want to train you on how to build a $100,000 business. How to build a $100,000 a year business. Okay, now, I have friends in Legal Shield who make $100,000 a year, but they do all the work, which is fine. That's just like in a job, right? At a job, you're going to do all the work, and if you're really, really lucky, like in the top 5%, 4% of American income earners, you might make $100,000 a year. Well, here, the difference between here and a regular job is, should you choose to build a business, you can earn $100,000 a year in passive income. So I showed up on the reports, and thank you, Mr. Hall, for that acknowledgement. It was kind of a, I won't go into that, but I actually retired from Legal Shield a couple of years ago to write a couple books, start a seminar company, and an online marketing company, and so that's kind of off and running now. That's going great. Well, when Legal Shield got purchased about a year ago, they called me and about 20 other people and said, fly in, we want you to meet these guys. We were kicking the tires, asking them the hard questions. They were saying, hey, we're going to merge. These guys are buying the company. Here's your new CEO. And I just fell in love with these guys. I fell in love with where Legal Shield, where they were going. I fell in love with the new leadership and all of that. So I've kind of been, you know, reengaging at a certain level. But what's happened in those 2 years is even though I've been, you know, as far away as India and Dubai doing seminars, my Legal Shield business has continued to pay us a strong six-figure income, whether we're plugged in, unplugged, whether we're in Dubai or in India or in Canada or wherever we've been over the last 2 years, we continue to earn this incredible income. That's because I've built a business. And this business is, I've set it up to where it sustains itself without me. So I can actually go and do some of these other things like be a dad, which is my dream, and write a book, which is my dream, and travel the world and do seminars, which is my dream. And the business continues to pay me. Would anybody else like to have that same thing happen in your life? Okay, now, and I say that with extreme gratitude. Every day of our life is such a blessing. I mean, we just feel so, so, so very blessed to have that privilege in our lives. And we're so just overwhelmed with gratitude to have that. I want to teach you all some of the things that I've used, some of the techniques and strategies that I've used over the years to have that happen for me. But before we do that, let's look at $100,000. Paul J. Meyer, one of the grandfathers of the personal development industry, taught that you must inspect what you expect. Okay? So I like to, when I have a goal or something that I'm really wanting in my life, or an expectation that I have in my life, I inspect it. I look at it from every single angle. I familiarize myself with it so that it's not foreign to me, so that I'm comfortable. It's like a friend, right? I want to inspect what I expect. So many years ago, 13 years ago, when I started Legal Shield and I first created my goal to make $100,000 a year in Legal Shield, I began to familiarize myself with $100,000. What does it look like? How much is it per month? How much is it? $8,333.34. Everybody says 83, 33, 33. That's not 100 grand. You need an extra penny. It's 83, 33, 34. So if you, those of you that have goals to get your ring, it's 83, 33.34 per month times 12 months equals over $100,000 per year. So don't leave out that penny. Because in our company, they give you a nice gold ring if you make over $100,000 a year. If you make $99,999.99, they don't give you the ring. Even if you gave them a penny, they won't give you the ring. So make sure you put that extra penny in there. So let's look at $100,000. First of all, what percentage of American income earners are earning at their jobs or businesses in excess of $100,000 per year? Anybody want to guess? It's about, and it depends on how you do it, but it's about 3% is my understanding. Maybe up to 5%. So I had to understand that in order to make $100,000 a year, I have to be in the top 5% of every human being in this country. Does everybody feel the weight of that? Okay. If I'm going to make $100,000 a year, I can't be that kid. Everybody get that? And if you have some things about you that you feel like you might need to change and get rid of, I'd start working on that now. I had a lot of overcoming to do. If you're going to be in the top 5% of all income earners in the most incredible nation on God's green earth, you must make changes in your life. Some of you are already making six figures outside of Legal Shield or in, and awesome. But for most of us, we have a ton of work to do. So you have to understand going into this that you cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it. Okay? In other words, you can't get something by being you can't get something different by being the same. Everybody get that? And I hope you'll write that in your notes. I cannot get something different by remaining the same. So know up front that if you are to build a six-figure business in Legal Shield, you've got to pay a price, and a lot of that price is going to be personal change, and I'll talk a lot about that today. Personal change and professional mastery. You've got to pay that price. I mean, you're going to be in the top 5% of American income earners, so you've got to know going into it there is going to be a price to pay. Sacrifices will be made, but you can do this. And you know what? You can get it all started part-time. You can get it all started 10 hours a week. You don't have to ruin your life to make $100,000 in Legal Shield. You can start it all out 10 hours a week. Okay, let's look at another thing. In a job, if you had a job, how much money are you actually bringing home if you earn $100,000 a year? Okay, 68, we're hearing, 65, 70-ish. What would it be, 65? Isn't it, what's the top tax rate? 38% federal? Is that federal? Okay, and does Utah have a state tax? Okay, so you got to pay that, right? How much is it? So you're bringing home about what, 60 grand? Okay. And then you pay taxes on everything you buy. So you're paying over 50% in taxes. But let's just look at state and federal. So you're bringing home about 60 grand. So my friends, when they heard that I was making six figures in Legal Shield, I had a couple friends that were making six figures in their careers. None of the rest of them were. All the rest of them were broke. Well, these guys felt threatened now all of a sudden that this little, you know, kid from the ghetto didn't graduate from college. It was like now all of a sudden I'm making $100,000 a year. It's like it made them feel less somehow. I don't understand how people, I do understand how people are like that, but I just wish we weren't like that as people. And they're like, well, bro, I've been making six figures for years. And I used to have patience with this. Well, one day this guy's ripping on me and I'm like, really? How many years have you been making six figures? And he said, whatever, 3 years, 4 years. I said, that's awesome, man. How long is your lunch break? Y'all get that? What taxes are you paying? What percent of taxes are you paying? You know, they're bringing home about $60,000 a year. So as you're looking at the goal to make $100,000 in Legal Shield, because you're a business owner, you're going to have a lot of what? Tax write-offs, which reduces your tax liability, which means you're going to bring home way more what? Money. So last year, I don't want to get into my personal finances, but I'm just tell you this, that I bring home almost all of it. Because when you start making a little bit extra money, here's what you do with it. You hire really smart people. Right, Dave? You hire really smart people, And I tell my tax advisors, I go, look, I don't want to bend the rules. I don't want to break the rules. I don't want to get in trouble. But I want you to be as aggressive as you can be, and I want you to take me right up to the legal limit. I want to pay all my taxes, but I literally don't want to pay one penny more than my legal obligation. And I had one guy, the first guy I hired to do my taxes, this was many, many years ago, I was telling him about some of the write-offs that home-based business owners get. And he said, no, you can't do that. And see, one personal development, which I'll talk about, there's a guy named Robert Kiyosaki. You know who Robert Kiyosaki is? Well, I signed up for one of Robert Kiyosaki's coaching courses, and this is what he told me in this coaching course. And as the money starts coming in, please get this in your notes. Pay for education. Please. Pay for education. Pay for audios, videos, online courses, seminars, go back to school, classes, whatever it is that you want to do. But invest in education. I don't have a degree, but I'm educated. And I'm glad it worked out that way. Because if I had a degree, I wouldn't be nearly as educated as I've become over the years. Because the worst thing about the American educational system is when we get our degrees, we think we're done. What I love about Legal Shield is we teach ongoing personal development. I've adopted what Tony Robbins calls KANAI, constant and never-ending improvement. That is the secret to success in marriage, health, spirituality, life, business, friendship, and everything else. Constant and never-ending improvement. So invest in education. So I invest in this education. Here's what Robert Kiyosaki tells me. He says if any of your advisors ever tells you, no, you cannot do that, fire them. So I'm sitting with my tax guy, and I go, hey, what about this? He's like, no, you can't do that. Ding! I remember my other advisor, right, Robert Kiyosaki, and I say, you're fired. And I walk out with all my files. Because what I don't want him to say is, you can't do that. I want him to say, well, actually, how we could do that is, you see the difference? So you want people that don't slam doors in your face. You want people to be creative. You want people to work with you. You want people that are smart and they're going to do it right. So see, get this in your notes. Tax savings. What sort of things can you write off, Mr. Hall?
Mileage.
What's mileage write-offs these days? Okay, 55 cents a mile. If I were you, everywhere you go, I would try to share Legal Shield. Take a minute when you park, document it, and you got paid 55 cents for that mile. By the way, let me give you a resource. It's called UncleSamWillPay.com. UncleSamWillPay.com. There on that site, you can buy a book from best-selling author Ron Mueller, who's become a personal friend of mine, and I know some of the other people in the room. Great, great guy. He's written the only book authorized by Congress for home business tax savings. You will not miss one penny. He'll teach you how you can write off your mileage to your job. Even though you're going to your job, he'll teach you in the book how to write off that mileage to your job and back. He'll teach you how you can write off your children's allowance. He'll teach you how you can write off your health insurance. Those of us that are independent contractors, we can't write off our health insurance unless you get the book, read the book. It's about a $30 book. I would recommend that you all get it. Invest your money in education. Empower yourself, right? They say the rich get richer and... Here's what I've learned over the years. That's nonsense. Because I used to be at the bottom of the socioeconomic ladder, and through education, personal growth, and bringing value to the marketplace, I came into the top of the socioeconomic ladder in America. So if you believe that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, I guess it's true, but it's only true for you. Everybody get that? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right? So if you believe that that's true, then it's true for you. I challenge you to say that that's not true. Create a new belief. That's not true. So tax savings are huge. So I have an iPhone, and the new iPhone will be announced next week, and it'll be available the week after that. And guess what? My Legal Shield business has to have the iPhone 5. Everybody, right? Has to. And I can do what with that $400 or $500 that it's going to cost me? Write it off. It's a business expense. Okay? All the printers in my house, all the computers. We bought some ridiculously expensive cars over the years, which I'll never do again. It was just an incredible waste of money. But we did that as a tax strategy. You know, we were able to write off a $1,200, $1,400 payment. My tax advisor says, you got a pile of money left over. You know, you can buy some real estate and invest, maybe buy a nice luxury car or rent, lease a nice luxury car, or you can write a check to Uncle Sam. What would you like to do? Right? I mean, it's a no-brainer. So you get lots of tax write-offs. So people who make $100,000 in the job world aren't bringing home nearly what people in Legal Shield who are making $100,000 are bringing home. Everybody get that? So make sure you get the book, follow the book. And by the way, I thought this book is going to bore me to tears. It was riveting for me. I'm like, how do you get excited about a tax book? But I just kept thinking as I was reading the book, oh my gosh. And I was thinking how much money I was going to save. Like, you know, this guy's a genius. I would have never thought that you could, you know, do it that way. So get that book. All right, so let me see my, oh, thank you. I got a couple of notes. All right, so we have to get familiar with $100,000 a year. And you just have to know that you're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to bust your rump. You got to pay a price. Everybody got it? Can we move forward? Okay. CEO mindset. You've got to have a CEO mindset. And let me tell you when I developed my CEO mindset. So in my business, it looks like this. Here's a guy named Jeff Hughes. And by the way, I don't know if y'all got the update. Some of you are concerned about it and asked me about it. Jeff Hughes is my big brother. He's my sponsor. He brought me in the business. I'm right here. Okay, Jeff, just randomly, he has lung cancer. They found a spot in his lungs, and it was just a freak thing. And so he's never smoked in his life, and ironically, smokers' lung cancer is much more easily dealt with than non-smokers. Non-smokers' lung cancer is the most aggressive kind. Well, when they found it, it was stage 3A, which basically meant you're probably going to die. And because of our Legal Shield family and the power of prayer and all of those things, Jeff is 100% cancer-free. I just want you all to know that. And thank you to all of you who prayed for him. Many of you are on his team. That was very nice of you to be concerned, and I love the support we get in Legal Shield. So Jeff signed me up. Now, in this, when you look at that, who's the CEO? Who's the CEO? Come on. Who's the CEO? They're both CEOs. Everybody get it? So one day I have this amazing idea. Okay, that is a light bulb. I have this amazing idea, at least what I thought was amazing. And I call my brother Jeff and I say, Jeff, I've got this amazing idea. And he says, what? And I tell him my idea. I don't remember what it was now. And he says, Chris, that is a great idea. You should do that. And I said, no, Jeff, the reason I'm calling you is because you're in the upline and you can send an email out to everybody in the whole team. Don't you think it's a good idea? He goes, I think it's a great idea. You should do that. No, I know I can do it, Jeff, but what I'm saying is you're up here, and so instead of just me doing it, you could send it out to the whole team. That's a great idea, Chris. You should do that. I don't have access to all those people, Jeff. What are you doing to me? It was making me so frustrated. And this is what he said to me. He goes, Chris, listen. I am the CEO of my business, which happens to include you. You are the CEO of your business, which does not include me. Isn't that wisdom? Jeff is wise. I mean, that is like, sometimes I want to punch him in the face, but he's really wise. Y'all get that? See, I'm part of his organization. He's not part of my organization. He's up there. Is everybody real clear on that? So see, what so many people, the mistake so many of you have already made and are making even today in your mind, in your heart, and in your words, you're saying things like, well, if he would call me back, right? If I could just get someone to do my PBR. No one's ever come to help me. They work with all their other leg. They don't work with my leg. What's wrong with me? He's this. She's that. They blame. Write this in your notes. Blaming is the path to smallness. And I don't know if that's a word, but it will be for our conversation. Blaming is the path to being small. even more small than things are right now. You don't blame anybody. So you've got to be very clear in your mind that you, wherever you are in the structure, you are the CEO. Here's my advice about your upline. And please write this down. Gratefully accept anything they are willing to give. But expect nothing and be okay with it. Do I need to say that again? Accept, gratefully accept anything they're willing to give. But don't expect it and be okay with that. I don't want any of you to ever have the thought or express the words or experience the feeling that you don't have support from your upline. Let me put a number up here. Do you know how many times my upline came over to my house? And this is in 13 years, by the way. Do you know how many times my upline came over to my house to do a PBR?
Zero.
Yeah, y'all figured that out? Do you know how many times my upline did a three-way call for me from zero to executive? Zero. Do you know how many times my upline called me and said, hey, you're rocking the house, I'd like to fly down there and do a meeting for you? Zero. Do you know how many team conference calls I got on from zero to executive director? From start to zero director, you know how many team conference calls my upline put on? Zero. How many breakouts they had, breakout events, how many times we got together as a team with the upline? Zero. Now, had I not had this conversation with my brother Jeff, I would have quit. Because I would have been so focused on this that nothing else would have mattered. You know how many people my upline has put in on my team? Zero. I gave a lady 5 associates in 1 week. And then the next week I didn't give her any. And then the next week she called me and asked, where's my people? Yeah, she's like, you haven't given me any people in a long time. It's incredible. You know what I found? Get this in your notes. The people I've helped the most have been the biggest pain in my backside. The people I've helped the most have been the biggest pain in my business. I mean, they say things like, well, if you don't, you know, well, you know, I need help. If you don't loan me some money, I'm going to quit. I'm going to go get a job. You know what I've learned to say? Get a job. You're not going to threaten me. I mean, so this one lady, she calls me and she says, right off the bat, my upline recruited me and then he quit. She's angry, man. I mean, she's just like so, and I don't even know her. She's like, I need some help. Don't you all people have a moral obligation to help your team? And I said, are you asking me? Yeah, you. You're my upline. I said, no, I have zero moral obligation to help you. But I will help you. I'd love to help you. Where do you live? I live in Los Angeles. Okay, well, I live in Marietta. It's a long drive. If you can, and I trained her on a private business reception. We'll talk about that later. You know, just have a grand opening. I'll come down. I'll help you show a video. I drove to L.A. I did her grand opening. We signed up 3 or 4 people. I did private business receptions for them in L.A. Then we expanded into Moreno Valley, California, and I did private business receptions over there. Then she moves to Moreno Valley, and she calls me, and I did a private business reception in her house. And then 2 or 3 months go by, and she calls me, and she says, I just want to let you know I'm quitting. Why are you quitting? She says, because you never helped me. Oh, like, yeah, that, whatever you just said. It's ugly. I mean, and I'm an even-tempered kind of guy, but I'm like, are you kidding me? I said, look, if you want to quit, quit. But I want you to know, this person who's at this level, never did a PBR for that person. This person who's at this level, I never put anybody underneath it. Oh, this is the same lady I put five people in under a week. By the way, I was trying to help her. I saw a lady that I used to be in a mastermind group with. My wife was telling me about something she put on Facebook. I don't ever get on Facebook, but she keeps me up to date with what's going on. But it says, I can't believe how anybody who wants to help people would not vote for so-and-so. Okay, so I don't want to go political here. But I want you to understand, I got to give you the context of my whole training today and how to become a CEO and how to become a success. In this country, there's two camps. And these camps are radically divided about how you help people. Okay? Now, the one camp says, whatever they need, give it to them. We just need to, most people can't take care of themselves, so we need to do it. We need to take all the problems away. We need to get to them. The other camp says, no, if someone needs help, we rehabilitate, we educate, we inspire, we network, we introduce, and we help that person grow themselves up. We help people, we empower people to solve their own problems. Okay, so, you know, when I was at a state park recently, it says, don't feed the bears. We were 12,000 feet up in the mountains. Don't feed the bears. Why does it say don't feed the bears? Okay, there's a couple reasons. Yeah, he's dependent coming back. A couple reasons. Number one, because a bear can kill you. Let's just start with the easy one, right? Because a bear can kill you. Don't feed the bears because a bear can kill you. The other reason is, what if we had food in the same spot every single day? The bear just needed to come out of the woods into the parking lot or on the street, and we have a big pile of food. Mama, dad, bear, they show up, they eat. This goes on for years. After a while, they have a cub. And they show the cub how to do it. They come and they just get all this big pile of food. And they eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And this goes on for years. And that cub grows up and gets married and has a little, you know, bears get married. And he shows his kids, look, here's this big magic pile of free food. It's always here. And so multiple generations now have gone on and they're coming to this magic place to get this magic food. Now one day they come to get the magic food. The magic food's gone. What is the fate of that family of bears? They're gone. They're dead. Game over. So, as we have this discussion, I need you to understand that when I say help people, I help people by not helping them, okay? In the traditional description of help. So, I've had people ask me for money over the years. And it's so awkward. I know you guys have had this happen as well. And the worst thing you can do for somebody is to loan them money. I've learned. And it stresses the relationship. They hide from you because they owe you and they're not making payments. That's not how you help people. You say, okay, how much money do you need? I need $1,100. Okay, what level are you? I'm a director. Okay, how much commission do you get membership? I get, what is it? 207. So times about 6 puts you over $1,200. I want you to plan a PR at your house this Friday. I'll be there. I'll help you get those people in. I'll help you make welcome calls. If anybody has any questions, call me. I'll do your three-way calls. We're going to get this $1,200 for you this weekend. That's how I help people. Okay, that's how I help people. And while I'm doing all that I do, they're doing what? They're watching me and they're taking notes so that they can empower other people. And that's how you build a big business in Legal Shield. By empowering. I don't help people. I empower people. If what I'm going to do to you does not empower you, I'm not going to do it to you. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm only going to get involved with you if it's going to empower you. If it's charity, I already have charities. I already have places that I put my money. If you want empowerment, if you want to learn how to, you know, feed yourself and feed others through empowering others, I can teach you how to do that. So does everybody get my definition of help? Okay, because I don't want you to be mad at me. Some people like my leadership style. Some people hate it. Some people want to murder me. But, and I'm okay with that. Some people will call me and go, oh my gosh, Chris, the house is on fire. My business is going away. I need your help right now. Anybody who's on my team that knows if you leave a message like that, the more traumatic it is, if it's business related, the more emotion and traumatic it is, your messages, your calls, the longer it's going to take me to call you back. And here's why. Because I know if it's desperate, if I don't call you back and solve your problem, you're going to figure it out. And that's what I want. I don't want your problem to go away. I want you to be empowered. I want you to learn to solve your own problems. So here's what I'll do. A week goes by, and I call that person back. Hey, Travis, what's up? I'm so sorry. I got your message. Things have been just crazy. I don't laugh when I'm talking to him. It's just funny to me because I'm thinking of his response. But things have been crazy, and did you get that problem handled? Oh, yeah. No, that's all good, man. I handled it. Ding. That's what I wanted to hear. All right, man, I just wanted you to know that I got your back. I'm here. But everything's good? Yeah, everything's good. The relationship is now good. He was mad at me for a little while, but I don't care about that. I'd rather be successful than popular. You might want to write that down. I'd rather be free than important. All right. Y'all ready? If you're ready, say next. You want to talk about the next topic? Okay, so what's the first one? CEO mindset. Everybody got it? You don't blame. You're in a constant state of gratitude all the time. I'll never forget driving on the road. After I started learning these philosophies, before Legal Shield, by the way, I'm driving down the road in my 88 Honda Accord, no air conditioner, 100 degrees, 100% humidity, sweat dripping down my back. I'm listening to motivation on my CD. I've got some educational, motivational information. I look over and I see this woman in an older car than mine. She's got kids. She's sweating. Her hair's everywhere. And she looks really, really rough. And I just read in the book, I think it's Seven Spiritual Laws of Success by Deepak Chopra, who said that if there's something that you can do to empower somebody, but if there's nothing that you can do to empower people, at least shoot them a prayer. I like that concept. At least shoot them a little prayer. Right? So I see this lady driving by, and I'm shooting her a prayer. I'm impoverished myself. But I see her drive by, and here's what happens. I shoot her a little prayer. God bless this woman. Help her to become empowered in her own life. Help her to find the things and the resources that she needs to grow and to bring more value. And then, bam! My wheel pops off. I'm going 80, 75, 80 miles an hour down the freeway. I'm dragging on the back right. Sparks are going everywhere. And in that moment, after the panic went away, I began to express gratitude. Gratitude that, yes, this is awful, and that lady, and I'm sorry, and I don't have a wheel anymore. I don't know how bad the damage is. But I have this information in my CD player. And I was so grateful for this empowering education that I was getting. Because I knew, even though I'm in the poorhouse at the time, I knew that with this information, bringing value to others, making myself better, that I can change, that I can become better. Now, that lady driving in the car, she may or may not have access to the information. But I have access to the information, so I'm so very grateful. So learn to be grateful for whatever is going on in your life. We all have so much to be grateful for. This is good for your notes. Gratitude is the key that unlocks the door to abundance. Gratitude is the key that unlocks the door to abundance. I try to find things in my life every single day to be grateful for. Not just grateful for, emotionally grateful. Not just, thank you. By the way, let me give you, you want to hear my little 5-minute seminar on gratitude? No? Okay. Do y'all need a break? There's some people in the room sleeping. Y'all look at your neighbor, see if they're asleep. Just give them an elbow. Okay. There are others. There is at least one in the room that is sound asleep. Y'all didn't hear that? Okay, so gratitude. There's a difference between saying thank you does not necessarily equate to gratitude. There's a big difference. And what I want to challenge you all to be is I want to challenge you to be in gratitude. Okay, imagine a car is over here, okay? We've got a 2013 Bentley Continental GT convertible, baby blue, white interior, white top. You see it? Okay, that's my dream car. My wife's name is Sky, so it's for her. Sky, blue, got it? Okay. So there it is. Right now I'm outside the car, right? You open up the door, step in. Now I'm what? Inside. What I want to challenge you all to be is inside of integrity, inside of gratitude. Not having gratitude, but be in it. It is your state of mind. It is who you are. It's what you are. You are in this constant state of bewilderment about how incredibly awesome your life is. And watch what happens. I'm telling you, that is magic. You get in gratitude, where there's this constant flow in your life. And when things bad happen, let me tell you how my brain works. This is how my brain works. And I've trained my brain to work this way. My brother Mike Hughes, y'all know him? Silver Executive Director on Legal Shield. They have three daughters. Their youngest, not yet. They have three daughters. Their youngest was 8 years old. They're done. Family's done. Girls are raised. Everything's great. Life's easy when they're about that age, right? No more diapers and all that. Well, they feel like they have, they feel like they had a baby, another baby. Like they needed to have another baby. So they, fire up the machinery and everything and however that works. And lo and behold, she gets pregnant again. They're so excited because they want to have a boy. And they're like, it's going to be so awesome. And so when the time came, they went down and they went to get the sonar. Is the sonar? Is that what it is? Ultrasound. So they do the ultrasound and they say, everything looks great on your twin girls. So five girls now. They just wanted a boy, but now they have five girls. Well, the girls are supposed to be born in a couple weeks from now. Doctor looked at them a couple ago and said, we need to take them right now. So they took these daughters a month early, and everything was great. Babies are beautiful, and well, I don't know if they're beautiful because they look exactly like me. But y'all know what I mean. But my brother. So babies are fine. It's so cool. FaceTime. I love technology today. He's in the hospital, and he's showing me on video, or phone to phone. I'm like, that's so great. Yeah, it's so cool. We can see these babies. He's in Colorado. A week later, his wife has a heart attack. And had she not been in the hospital with her babies in the NICU, she would have died. The only reason they saved her is because she happened to be in the hospital with her premature babies. She's fine. She made it. And she's going to be fine. She's at home now. And they hesitantly asked my wife, because she's still nursing, I think my wife volunteered, but she just said, you're not going to be able to feed those babies because she's on 7 medications, and it's just pure poison for the babies. You're not going to be able to breastfeed, and it's really important. We're kind of more of a natural family, all of us. And so my wife says, I will pump and freeze it and mail it on dry ice so that you can give your babies that breast milk, which is so important. And so Sherry's, moved to tears and she's crying. And so immediately my wife begins, even though she's healthy anyway, we go and we get some supplements that help production. Thank you. The production of breast. Thank you. Manufacturing. She goes and gets these herbs, and she's been drinking, a gallon and a half of 2 gallons of water a day. And she's eating more organic fruits and vegetables than before, and pure meats that don't have chemicals and pesticides in the vegetables and all this. And she's pumping and freezing this milk and stuff. So I'm saying, because Napoleon Hill, and I live by this now. Napoleon Hill, in his book that I read in my poverty 13 years ago, 14, almost 15 years ago, he taught that embedded every adversity, failure, setback, and temporary defeat are the seeds of a greater or equivalent benefit. In every failure, in every setback, in every temporary defeat, in every disaster, in every family crisis, in every one of them is embedded the seeds of a greater or equivalent benefit. So I start thinking, what are the greater or equivalent benefits? And this is how my mind works. I immediately started thinking, wow, this is crazy. We want to have more children still. Dave Hall pulled a little bit ahead now, so we want to try to catch up with how many kids he has. So my wife and I are talking about the possibility of adding to the 4 that we have. And I'm like, well, I'm 40 and she's, approaching that. And now she's going to be healthier than she's ever been in her whole life. And we had minor complications with the last baby. And maybe she's going to put her body in a perfect peak state to have a super healthy baby. That's how my mind thinks. So I see this as like this beautiful masterpiece. God's working it all out. So we're all blessed. And everything's going to be awesome. That's how my mind works. So I don't see this as a tragedy. I see this as an opportunity to show compassion and love. We're closer now as a family than we've ever been. We're texting back and forth several times a day. How are you? I love you. So glad you're still with us. You see this? Embedded in every failure, temporary defeat, setback, disaster, family tragedy, you're embedded the seeds of a greater or equivalent benefit. So begin to train your eyes, your mind, and your heart to see the good in everything that happens. There is nothing bad that happens unless you think it's bad. And I know I'm going to get it from people who go, well, what about this little kid and what happened to the kid? Listen, our good friend, one of our teachers at the school, her granddaughter, 2 years old, was swimming and just died this past week. 2 years old. I don't know how you heal from that. And I was saying to one of the other board members at the school board, I said, you know, I told her that. I go, I don't even know how you heal from that. I think it would break my heart and I'd probably end up in a loony bin. And she said, you know what? That happened to a friend of mine. I said, what happened? She said, a friend of mine watched her 18-month-old daughter. She would drown, died in her arms. She's freaking out. She runs out, throws the baby into the back seat, puts the car in reverse, and runs over her 4-year-old son. And she never healed. She is in a, I don't know what's the proper word for that. She's in asylum, in an asylum. And her husband goes in there and says, please, baby, I miss you. Heal. Like, you're okay. It wasn't your fault. You know, this is, I need you. And he cries and she's not in there. So what we have to do, yes, we have tragedy. It's called human being a human being. Yes, you're going to sell your mom a membership. She's going to cancel it. Has that happened to anybody? Okay, bad things are going to happen. We've got to train our eyes and our hearts and our minds to see the good in everything that happens. That's how you remain in gratitude. When something terrible happens to me, even if I'm in tears, on my knees, at the end of the day, I say, thank you, God, for this challenge. I don't get it. I don't understand it. But here's what I know. I know you love me and I love you. And I know that my life is going to continue to be amazing. And I know that there will be no loss in my life and that anything that has allegedly been taken from me, I know that's my perspective, not yours. And I know that I will be made whole. Make me whole. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Life is awesome. I'm looking for the miracles. I expect the miracles. I appreciate you so very much. That's where I'm at all the time. Call me crazy. I call it La La Land. All right. Okay, that was my 5-minute seminar that was 15 minutes. Okay. Next on your list is recruit. You've got to master this if you want to build a big business. You've got to master it. I hear people say all the time, well, I'm not a real good recruiter. Well, how many years are you going to say that? For those of you that are familiar with this, in the beginning was the... And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when you say stuff like that, I mean, that's pretty powerful. In the beginning was the, right? I mean, your words have power. How many of y'all saw the movie The Secret? Now, I know some people loved it, some people hate it. Who cares? I thought it was a great condensed Reader's Digest version of, you know, some ideas, not all the ideas, but some ideas on how to become successful in your life. And one of my favorite things is how they show the guy goes out to the mailbox and he opens it up and he pulls out an envelope, opens it up, and it's a bounce check. Y'all remember that? And how did they illustrate what was happening outside of him? You might remember? Yeah. It was like this boosh. And you could see these ripples going out into the universe. And what they're trying to illustrate is that whatever you think about and feel about, whatever you think in your mind and you emotionalize, see, as a man thinketh in his heart. How many of you have heard of that? That doesn't even make sense. We quote it. It doesn't make any sense. As a man thinketh in his heart. How do you think in your heart? You think with your brain, not your heart. Here's what he's saying. As a man thinketh and feeleth, whatever you think and feel comes about. That's what he's trying to say. So whatever you think and you emotionalize with feeling, you're sending out these electromagnetic waves throughout the universe, and by the way, penetrate every square inch of the universe, even way over there. Boom, instantaneously, goes out there. Well, it doesn't just happen with your thoughts and emotions. It happens with your words. Any words that you emotionalize, man, I just am not good at recruiting. Boom. And remember the genie, your wish is my command. So people that say that, oh, I'm just no good at recruiting. Boom. You're going out there, this energy is going out into the universe, and this little genie shows up and says, your wish is my command. You think you're bad at recruiting? I'm going to give you one more reminder that you're really bad at recruiting. Okay? So watch your words, watch your thoughts, watch the things that you, and watch your feelings. We'll maybe talk about some more things a little later. So recruiting. I want you all to create an affirmation. Somebody give me a definition of affirmation. Anybody want to take a shot at it? Yes. Yes. So it's a statement of the desired result, and you say it as though it's occurring right now, as though it's already occurred, right? So I am so happy and grateful now that I'm the number one recruiter in the state of Utah. Would that be a good one? I am so happy and grateful. You say it in present tense. I am. By the way, anytime you say I am, whatever follows that is a direct command to the subconscious mind. I am the top recruiter in the state of Utah. I am an excellent recruiter. Recruiting is easy. People flock to me in large amounts so that I can recruit them, teach them, train them, and assist them in becoming successful in Legal Shield. And you say this over and over and over and over and over again. And what you're doing is you're reprogramming your negative subconscious mind. See, all of us have this subconscious mind. These are things that are happening without your knowledge, without your control. It's just going on. And the reason why we're overweight, why we're addicted to food, we're addicted to crack, we're addicted to cigarettes, we're addicted to alcohol, we're addicted to porn, we're addicted to drama, we're addicted to poverty, we're addicted to ignorance, is because of what happened when we were little kids. Because when you're little kids, you didn't have the conscious mind to reject all the messages of your childhood. You didn't have that conscious mind that says, not true, not true, not true, not true, not true. You had this blank slate, and whatever your parents said, did, whatever your friends, neighbors said, did, it all went right into your subconscious mind and became truth. It became your belief system. It became your paradigm. It became who and what you are. And even as an older person, now you're like, oh, that's not right. Like my dad used to say some things that were so ignorant. And I love my dad. I don't want to disrespect him. But he was just of his environment. What do you call that? Thank you. He was just a product of his environment. You know, they were raised in a very racist, bigoted era down in Texas in the South. My dad used to say things, and I was raised that way, and I used to say those things. And then I moved to California, and I realized I was an ignorant fool. Wow. So I've had to retrain myself and reprogram myself, and it takes a lot of work to do that. So many of us are struggling here today. We want to go forward. How many of you, and just raise your hands, it's okay because we're all this way in some degree. How many of you want it so bad but just feel like nothing's happening? Show of hands. Okay. It's because you're being held back by your past. You're being held back by those old philosophies, those old beliefs, and those old paradigms. Let me give you an example. Guy says to me, I want to be a six-finger ringer in a Legal Shield so very bad. Why aren't you? I don't know, man. Well, you've been at it for 7 years now. You go to every meeting. You go to every training. You're good looking. You look the part. You're great with people. Like, what's the problem? I don't know, man. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And after some back and forth and back and forth, and I'm poking him, trying to find what is it, what is it, what is it, here's what we discover. His mother, who raised him in a certain church, she would always say that rich people are bad. And what we realized is he was self-sabotaging himself because he did not want to become wealthy, because if he did, he would lose the love and respect of his mother. All that's going on in the background, and we don't even know it. What it is it's like your set point. How many remember the set point in health or psychology when you're in school back in the day? What's the set point? Anybody want to describe it?
Well, for example, like with weight, if you're eating a certain amount of calories, your set point can be a certain place. You all of a sudden gain weight, you go, oh, I need to lose weight, so then you crash and you starve yourself and stuff. But then as soon as you come off that diet, you naturally float back to your set point, which is your natural where you would be if you weren't focusing on, I've got to cheat myself for food. It's where you naturally float.
Okay, very good. Everybody hear that? Okay, so your subconscious mind has one major job, and it is called self-preservation. So if you're at about, I've been at 195 for 10 years. Sometimes I go up to 2. I've been as high as 205. Right now I'm about 190. But about 195 is where I'm at. That's my set point, if you will. So if I all of a sudden drop a lot of weight, the body's self-preservation. Whoa, whoop, 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 whoop. A lot of weight being dropped here starts holding water. Okay? To keep me where I'm supposed to be. If you start drinking a lot of water, you start eliminating extra water, right? Because the body's going, whoa, 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 too much water, got to get out of here. They're trying to keep the body in an even kilter. Well, here's what I've learned. Your subconscious mind is doing the exact same thing with your success and failure. Wherever you've been in your life, most of us can look at our lives and you can see. I call this your default future. You can see in your life, here's how your life has looked, about like this. Now, you've had a couple of bumps in here and lost a job, got a raise, and lost a job, got a raise, got in Legal Shield, made some money, lost an ED leg, got another one. Right? But over time, it looks about like that for most people. Well, I call what happens over here, this is your life up to this point, right here, going forward, this is your default future. So if you want to know what your future is going to look like, just look at your past. Unless you're willing to change. And the change that is required to mess this up is significant. The change that is required is significant. It is not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen because you want it to. It's going to happen because you focus on it and you exhaust time and energy and patience and sacrifice on it. You've got to make significant changes here or else the rest of your life is going to look like this. But the sad thing is what most people don't take into account and say, well, I'm making $40,000 a year, $50,000 a year, $100,000 a year. That's not that bad. Well, inflation goes up an average of 3 to 7% per year over the last 100 years. So even somebody who stays flat for the rest of their life is not actually staying flat. They are losing their wealth every single year of their life. And this is why people at the end of their life are making more money than they ever had, but they have a lower standard of living than they did when they got married 20, 30, 40 years ago. Like, how is this happening? We're making more money. It's because $10,000 a year back then was actually $10,000 a year. Now, with the devaluation of the dollar and all the funny money and all the stuff that's going on in the world and printing money and all that, our dollar is not worth a dollar. All right. So, what does this have to do with recruiting? You've got to understand that you've got some demons that are trying to mess you up and trying to keep you from becoming successful. I fought that. I still fight that. You know, I want so bad. I mean, my definite chief aim, my major goal, desire, all that stuff right now is to make $1 million in a year. And I'm not really a guy that's money motivated. It's not the money. It's just I want to be able to be in that club. I think that's a cool club to be in. You know, I'm sure the money will be cool, but it's just like I want to do it. It's like how many people do you know that make $1 million a year? So I'm working really hard on that. And I realize I have written affirmations that are, it takes me 15 minutes. I've recorded it to this beautiful music that's in the background that just like moves me emotionally. And so I wrote out my affirmation, and it's every area of my life. It's like, here's how my, you know, relationships are, my marriage is, my health is, my spirituality, my income, my bank account, my cars. It's 15 minutes. And you may or may not want to do that. I wouldn't recommend it for beginners, but I've been at this for a little while, and I put it to this beautiful music. And a lot of that I'm still trying to work out. It's like, okay, I believe I'm worthy of $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year. But I hit this wall, and I hit this wall, and I hit this wall, and I realize it's because of all this stuff that's going on in the subconscious mind. See, most people, when they hit the wall, they go, well, it's my upline's fault. Well, it's my team. If my team would do something, I'd be rich. Right? So, has nothing to do with that. Has everything to do with you. You're the CEO. You're in charge of all that stuff, including your own thoughts. So you've got to learn to recruit. I don't have the time. I'm not going to get into, you know, the how-tos of recruiting. I'm sure you guys talk about that on a weekly basis. And there are other people probably way more qualified, not probably, certainly, way more qualified than me to do that. Okay, I'm going to switch subjects. Before we do that, I want everybody to stand up. We're going to take a quick stretch break. I have a half hour to do a three-hour seminar. So I need you to be with me. Stand up. Can we get some music? And I don't know if we can cool it off. Is it hot in here or is that just me? Feels way warm. I think maybe that's why people are resting. All right, I'm not going to make you rub anybody, so don't worry. You guys just... And y'all, don't... We're going to be done in 1 minute, so come back. This isn't a restroom break, smoke break. You know, tell your team to do something break. All right, just stretch. Just stretch. Everybody put your hands up like this, okay? And then I want you to come back. If you have back problems, don't do this. But just rub your back. Go up as high as you can on your back. Just rub that. Okay, rub your ears. Like this. While you're rubbing your ears, turn your ankle. Okay? We're going to get some good blood flow going. Okay, the other ankle, turn that. Looks silly. You know, if someone was making a video right now, they'd say, that is a cult for sure, if I've ever seen it. Okay, let's get back to work. I really do have a lot to do in a very short period of time. Recruit. You got to learn to recruit. You got to learn to build a big team. The other thing is, you got to be busy. Please get that in your notes. You got to be busy. Here's the thing. You have to figure this out. Write this in your notes. How do I get in front of 5 to 10 people a day? You got to figure that out. How do I get in front of 5 to 10 people a day? Even if you're part-time, then back it down a little bit. But this is for people that want to make, you know, $100,000 a year in Legal Shield and have a business. You got to figure that out. And I'm not going to tell you how to do it, because the way, I mean, I can give you some ideas. Networking groups. Toastmasters is a great club that you can belong to. Kiwanis Club. Rotary Club. Any seminars that are coming up in the area. There's always business seminars at local libraries and things. You can run advertisements. There's your newspaper ads. I know people do stuff on Craigslist. I know some people do stuff on, resume banks. I mean, I'm not endorsing any of these things. But I can tell you this, we weren't that smart when we started. So Dave Hall and I and a few and my brothers, we used to hang these signs on the side of the road that said, work from home, get paid daily. That's how we thought we were going to make a ton of money in Legal Shield. Now, don't do that, because we almost got terminated for doing it. We didn't know it was against the policy and against the law. But we used to put these plastic road signs, work from home. And you know what? People would call us. And we would recruit some of them, and we'd sell some memberships. And then Harlan Stonecipher, our founder of the company, sent out an email that said, it's been brought to our attention that there's some associates out there that are hanging road signs on the side of the road, and this is against policy, and if you continue it, you'll be terminated. So we're like, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? Our whole business model came crashing down. That was what we did. We hung road signs. And you know what we did? We figured it out. I want you to, that is one of the most important riddles that I want you to discover. You can ask people. You can take your leaders to lunch. You can call your leaders. You can email your leaders. But you've got to figure that out. I love when people, they'll call me and go, hey, can I get your advice? Yeah. I exposed this lady about 6 weeks ago, and I sent her the DVD, and she was so interested. And I call her, and she's still so nice, but she doesn't want to sign up. And I used to have these conversations and have empathy with them and everything, and now here's how I'd respond to that question. May I have your permission to coach you? Yes. This is what I asked the person on the phone. May I have your permission to coach you? They say yes. Why are we talking about someone that you exposed 6 weeks ago? And she didn't give me the right answer. I know the right answer. The right answer is because I haven't exposed anybody else since then. See, what you want is you want to be so busy with people to follow up with that if somebody doesn't take your call, they're like, thank you for not wasting my time. Whew, man, I'm so glad that now I know. I thought you were interested, you're not interested. I don't have time to be chasing you around. That you've got to create that situation in your life where you have so many people to call back that if somebody disappoints you, they don't go to the meeting, they don't sign up like you thought they would, who cares? I got 47 more people to call back today. That doesn't include the 67 I got to call back tomorrow. You set up a situation like that, and I know some of you are like, how do you do that? Just do it. Here's what we did right in those first few years. We did everything you could possibly do wrong. What we did right is we were busy. Very, very busy. If there was a trade show, we were there. Collecting business cards, handing out stuff. We didn't know what we were doing. People call me and go, hey, I've got a trade show. Have you ever done a trade show? Yeah, well, what sort of things have you done? I go, look, I'm going to give you the blessing of figuring that out. Part of the fun. Just go do it. It doesn't, people go, well, do I need a nice tablecloth that has Legal Shield on it? I'd have a nice tablecloth that had Legal Shield on it. Well, what sort of supplies did you have? They don't even make any of those supplies anymore. We were Proving Legal back then. Now we're Legal Shield. Just do it. Just go do it. You'll learn as you do it. People get all freaked out about, I got to do it right. No, we didn't do it right. We did it ugly. We did it nasty. But we did it. That's what I want you to do. Get ugly. Get busy. Get dirty. Just go do it. I mean, we used to do all kinds of crazy stuff. When I bring people, I rented space from a guy who had an office. And we'd have people come down, and it was a recruiting presentation. But here's what I thought I was so slick. I would do the, they're not there for the membership. They want to do the business. They want to make money, right? So I do the membership presentation, and I say, before we go into how you make money in this, I don't bring anybody on in my business that doesn't see the value in the membership, that wouldn't actually own this membership anyway. So do you see value in this membership? And what do you think they're going to say? Of course, because they want to get the back-end information. Then I'd say, okay, perfect. Let's go ahead and get your membership started. What's your address? And it was a hard close, and it made them feel weird, and they would cancel it right after they left. You know, because all they wanted to do was get the information. Now, I'm not saying that's good or bad. I just didn't have good success with it. But the point is, I did it. I learned by doing it. I learned from personal, real experience that that didn't work for me. It may work for others, didn't work for me. But what I'm proud about most over the years is that I was busy. Super, 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 super busy. Even if I was doing the business part-time, if I had 3 hours to work the business today, man, I was working it. I wasn't straightening my stereo wires, you know, sharpening my pencil, rearranging all my supplies. I was working. Okay? So you got to work to recruit. Next one is you want to become a person of influence. If you look like Snoop Dogg or Eminem, or for your older generation, let's see, Kiss, Ozzy Osbourne. Yeah, keep going. Huh? Who? Oh, yeah. No, he was okay looking, wasn't he? Did he have weird hair? Oh, he did? Oh, I get it. Dave says for the older generation, it was Samson with the long hair. I was like, I thought you were talking about Sammy. What was anyway. If you look like that, do you think your team wants you to come over and do a PBR for them? Do you think they want to introduce you to their mother? To their pastor, preacher, rabbi, bishop? No. You've got to become a person of influence. Start from the outside. Jim Rohn says that, people should not judge a book by its cover. But guess what? They do. So now we all have that advantage. We know, it's like, oh, you shouldn't judge me. It's like, yeah, you're right, I shouldn't, but I do. Because if I see somebody, you know, that looks thugged out and they've got a pistol in their hand and it's, you know, a bad neighborhood and they're walking down the side of the street. Yeah, or they're on Cops, right? I mean, you gotta make a judgment call, right, at some point. We shouldn't judge people by what's on the outside, but unfortunately we do. So does your family, so do all your friends. So most of you are looking pretty dang good, but just keep that in mind. I used to have long hair, in and out of a big hoop earring and a goatee, and I grew 13 inches in a year once when I was in high school, and we were really poor and we couldn't afford any pants, and preppy was the style back then, and everybody tucked and their belt matched their shoes and the socks matched their shirt. Ridiculous, I know, but I used to have to untuck my shirt and pull my pants down so that nobody could see that I had grown all that much. And so, you know, you remember how all the kids always had their pants sagging and all that? I started that a long time ago. So. Okay, so person of influence. So starts on the outside and does not end on the inside. That's the easy part. Outside, go get a haircut. And I'm going to say this, and I hope I don't offend anybody. I probably will, though. I've met so many talented people that they're awesome, but they look like they fell out of 1983. Does everybody know what I'm talking? I'm like, this lady's like, I don't know what the problem is in Southern California, and I just didn't have the heart to tell her. I just want to say, look, you're awesome, but you are outdated. That hair, like, who does that anymore? We haven't done that in decades. Now, I know that's rude, but we're in that kind of business. You know what? People, whenever they meet us, they look at watches, they look at jewelry, they look at shoes. That's what people do. Right? Well, if you look like 1983 and you're trying to show people how to be successful, we equate the outside with your bank account. Right? I mean, unfortunately, we do. Now, when you get to be like Sam Walton and you own Walmart, you can drive an old pickup. He drove an old beat-up pickup until he died. But until then, we're in an influence business. We're trying to influence people into our business. And if you look outdated, or if you're rude, or if you're toxic, or if you're a liar, or if you have no integrity, or, I mean, I knew a guy who would do PBRs for his new associates, and he would take all their sales and just give them cash. And not even their full commission. He would say, well, I'm not going to give you the full commission in case there's a chargeback. And it's like, but it's my sale. No, not when you're new. They're my sales. Yeah. So, I mean, there's we could spend a whole seminar on influence. I don't have the time. The reason why we focus so much on personal development in this business is because this business is a leadership business. It's an influence business. Influence is leadership. Leadership is influence. You've got to get that mastered if you want to build a big organization. You've got to become a person of influence. And if you don't think that you can be, you've got to establish a strong relationship with someone who is. And if they won't do that with you, if your upline or someone's not available, then you've got to do it. You're just going to have to figure it out. Next thing is, have fun. If your house is in foreclosure and you're doing Legal Shield full-time, go get a job, please. If your car got repoed and this is chronic, this has been going on, go get a job. This is such an awesome opportunity, but it's no fun when you're broke. Now, I'm one of them. Let me tell you a story. I'm one of those guys that lost everything. I lost houses, cars, all kinds of stuff since I've been in Legal Shield. I quit my job too early. And I'll never forget the time when I was an executive for pretty consistently making good money, and then I lost my executive status because of long story. But I missed it for 2 months in a row. We're getting evicted out of our apartment. It was awful. And I was like, this is ridiculous. I need to be responsible. I need to get a job. So I went and I interviewed at AmeriQuest Mortgage, and they were like, you're hired. You start on Monday. And over that weekend, I spent the weekend in prayer because this is really hard for me because I'm philosophically opposed to having a job. I'm philosophically opposed to building another man's dream. But on the other side, I'm philosophically opposed to not taking care of my family. So if I have to sacrifice on the one end to take care of the other, I'll do that. I'm a person of faith and prayer, and I really made a connection with God that weekend. And I felt like something good was going to happen. I expected that something good would happen. I called that company on Monday morning, and I quit. I never even showed up. That month, I recruited a superstar who, in that very first month, his first month, got me back to executive director. And I've never missed since. And that was 11 years ago, 11 and a half years ago. Now, it's important for me to know that you know that if that magic didn't happen that month, I'd have had a job. I'd have went back and said, I'm so sorry, I need a job. Because this is, remember the emotions. Your emotions affect the outcome of your life. And if your emotions are always, oh gosh, I don't have any money, what am I going to do about my work? If that's perpetual, if that's ongoing, oh my gosh, you got to get a job. And watch what happens. It's still fun. Remember Jason Ray? We used to have a guy on our team. His name is Jason Ray. And he wanted to be with the big boys. He wanted to quit his job. He quit his job. He's like, I want to play with you guys. This is back when we were single, and when I was single anyway. We used to hang out all the time. We'd be at the pool. And I'm like, dude, I'm an executive. I can afford this luxury. You're not an executive. You need to, you know, go to work or go do a job. He wasn't on my team. He was on my brother's team. And he would create tons of momentum when he had a job. And they'd be like, man, I'm making $4,000 a month. I'm an executive. And then he would quit his job. And everything would go away. I mean, he would, like, his whole team would quit right after, like, within months. It happened over time. And then he's like, oh, and then he loses another car, and he gets evicted from the apartment. And I'm like, dude, get a job. Don't you remember how good things were when you had a job? When you have a job, you get dressed. You don't go 4 days without a shower. When you have a job, you have people that you can talk to. You feel good about yourself. Your wife's not nagging you all the time because she's at home. And when you're home and you're not bringing home the bacon, she's upset and you're upset and your kids are feeling that energy. Get the heck out of the house. Go find yourself a job and take care of your woman and your children. You know, okay, all right, I will. So he goes and gets another job. And it's a good job. And he's making money. And boom, he goes executive. And boom, he goes bronze executive director. And everything's rocking. And then he quits his job. And within 6 months, his whole team's gone again. Now, a lot of this was his own issues. He was running his people off. And there's a lot of issues here. But, you know, he's devastated. He got a BMW during that time. Not from the company, one that we didn't have that program back then. He just bought a BMW. I'm like, are you a knucklehead? You make $4,000 a month and you drive a BMW. Oh, but I got a good deal. And I'm like, save it. No. All the money goes away. I go and get a job. He goes and gets another job. Income explodes again. Then he quits his job. Income goes away again. And then he quit and he never came back. Because he wouldn't go get another job. I'm like, just keep the job. Keep the job. At least until you have some stability in your life. At least until you get the wolves away from the door and take a breath. All right, man, I really got to be done at 1:30, Dave. Okay. Okay, so make it fun. Make it fun. Make it fun. Let me just share a couple of cool stories. So we had this lady named Judy Garden. She was in our leadership team. You want to have a crew, okay? A crew. You want to have a crew. Let me tell you who my crew was. Dave Hughes, Mike Hughes, Jeff Hughes, Judy Garden, Chris Hughes, Jim McClellan, Dwayne Hamlin. That was my crew. Seven of us. We went to everywhere. We were at every meeting together. We sat together. We had lunch after all the events together or dinner. We did everything together. If there was a trade show or something to do, we did it together. We were always together. Judy was 60-something years old. She spent some time in India. She meditates, and she was really into that, you know, Eastern philosophy. Well, she had this essential oil, right? She's kind of into essential oils, and she had one oil, and it was called Abundance. And I'll never forget, like what we used to do before all of our meetings, we'd close the door, people are lined up out there, it's just the crew. And we would hold hands and we'd say a little prayer and we'd thank God for this amazing, abundant opportunity. And we'd ask God to bless everybody to walk through this door, to have their eyes open, they can see the opportunity, their hearts be pricked, all this cool stuff, right? We're praying to God, come on, God, come on, come on, come on. We really need your help. And then Judy, at the end, she always wore this silk scarf. I'll never forget Judy. It was her ritual. She would walk around our meeting room before we opened the door, and she would spray this Abundance. And it was like kind of like our magic, you know, what do you call it, secret weapon, you know? And we would have bowling nights. You know, bowling nights and barbecue nights and team appreciation day. And we made team T-shirts and we made team names and we did all kinds of stuff. A lot of you already have some of that stuff in place. But don't be afraid to have fun. Brandon Samiego, who's my number one guy in my organization, number one. He's only been in the company 5 or 6 years. He's passed everybody else up like they're going backwards. 13 years of work, he did it in 6. Passed everybody up. One of the reasons he's number one in my organization is because of what he does. I just got an email from him last night. He's doing bowling day. He takes the riches that he's getting from Legal Shield and reinvests it back into his business. He rents the entire bowling alley once a quarter. He gets the bowling alley. He gets all the bowling and all the shoes. It's paid for. You come, bring your wife, bring your kids, bring all your friends and family. It is free for everybody. They take the whole bowling alley for like 5 or 6 hours. The only thing he asked them to do, because he got worked this out with the owners, is just please buy food when you're at the bowling alley. Everything else I'll take care of. And he does this. They do volleyball tournaments down on the beach in Southern California. They do barbecues. I used to do, you know, he was one of the guys that I trained before I left. I gave him the baton. We used to have barbecues in Southern California. I used to live on a horse ranch. We had a 40-acre horse ranch, and we had a hot tub and a pool and basketball and all this cool stuff. We'd have 400 people come over to our house. All the little kids. I got to know grandmas, great-grandmas. I'm telling you, when you create a fun environment, people, when they want to quit, are slow to quit. Everybody get that? Even when they want to quit because things aren't going well, they're slow to quit because they think about the relationships that they have with you, and they think about the fun and the environment that you've created. So you've got to have fun. All right. And then finally, gosh, we have so much to cover. I'm going to cut this down. I'll have to come back. Can I come back another time, Dave? All right. All right, the last thing is this. I'm going to try and do my best, Dave. I'm going to do my best. I might be a couple minutes over. Is that all right? I'm going to do my best. Okay, so the next thing I want you to write down is master your craft. Master your craft. Master your craft. You don't want to just do the basics. You want professional mastery. Let me tell you what happens when you do the basics. Now, if you do the basics in this business, can you enjoy the fruits of your labor? Yes or no? Yes! Let me tell you what happened with us. We had a garden this year. We live in a very cool community, and we have a neighborhood garden. So for $25, I can go and get like a tenth of an acre and plant it. $25 for the whole season. So all our neighbors and everybody, we all give this guy who's got this property $25, and the water's free, and the hoses are already out there, the tools are out there. Very, very cool. Well, we wanted to have this garden, so we're like, okay, let's do it. So we go out there, we're like, what do we want? We make a list, squash, zucchini, we want carrots, tomatoes, corn. We go down this list. And then we go and we buy the seeds. And then we go out there and we start planting them. We don't know what we're doing. We're not farmers. We don't have any experience, right? But we knew that you have to know, the land has to be tilled. They already took care of that for us. We knew we needed seeds. We knew we needed to water. And we knew we needed to pull weeds. And we knew that if it got cold, we'd have to cover it, right? Because it was frosting for the first couple weeks after we planted our garden. But outside of that, that's all we did. We did the basics. And we're enjoying fruit. We're getting lots of vegetables and stuff coming out every day. But you should see everybody else's garden. I mean, our garden is like the ghetto. It is. I mean, you look at our garden, it's like, because we haven't been diligent about weeds. We've been traveling. We've been so busy. We didn't take very good care of our garden. But we did the basics. And because we did the basics, we get lots of yummy food out of there. But you should see everybody else's garden. Everybody else, they did research and they found out what kind of supplements to put in the soil. Oh, we didn't know. Gosh, I wish I'd known about that. Right? See, when I walked in, I'm like, what's wrong with my corn? My corn's about this tall and it's already got these nice little, like, it looks different for some reason. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like there's like two or three stalks laying down and there's like little corn empty cobs on the ground. And I'm like, and I picked one off and it's got little teeth marks in my corn. I'm like, a raccoon got my corn. I was so mad. I was like, how dare you eat my corn? You know, I've been working all summer on this, and right when it starts to get ready, this raccoon comes in. So I go home and I go, Scott, you're not going to believe it. I go, look at this. I took a video. I go, a raccoon got our corn. She's like, oh, that stinks. I go, yeah, I got like 20% of it. She's like, that is too bad. Next day, I go out to water and get some stuff out of the garden, and it's like worse. Like 50% of our corn is gone. Yeah, no, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, do I have to camp out all night? And I go home, and I'm like, Sky, I'm like, our corn is, like, it's almost gone. She's like, oh, that's too bad. I go back the next day to feed, and it's done. It's like, pfft. And I look over at my other neighbor who has a, my neighbor's garden is beautiful, and his corn's like way up here. He has a trap. I'm like, what? We didn't get a trap. We could have got a trap. I mean, we did the basics, but there are some other things that had we done, we could have enjoyed greater amounts of fruit. Yes, everybody get that? Okay, so you can do the basics. I don't have time to train on the basics today. 10 core commitments. I'll train on that, Dave. Has that made it to Utah? All right, very good. So 10 core commitments. That's our system. That's how we made millions of dollars, right? That's how we do it. So make sure you come to the next training and learn. If you're new, you're going to learn those basics. Beyond the basics, I want to challenge you to professional mastery. Professional mastery. I want you to master your craft. And I will leave you all with this. I have taught for years a simple recipe for personal development, for getting better. And it's basically, you know, read 10 pages a day of a good book, listen to one CD every day, positive motivational educational CD, one CD or about 45 minutes. Associate with successful people, people that have what you want. Go to a seminar every 90 days. You know, it's kind of a basic success philosophy. It helps you to reprogram yourself over time. And I did that for years. And a while back, I developed what I call the 3-2-1-1 system for mastery. Because what I see is I see a lot of people reading good books for the sake of reading the books. And I see people read books for years and years and years and years, but they never get better at the business. And it boggles my mind. And so that's why I created this 3-2-1-1 system for mastery. So what I'm challenging you all to do, if you're going to make $100,000 a year, create $100,000 a year business in Legal Shield, you've got to master the business. System for mastery. 3-2-1-1. And here's how this works. Please get this in your notes. You're going to, let me introduce this concept by teaching you this concept. The 680 system. In any business goal or endeavor, there's about a half dozen things, six, that are going to make the bulk of the difference, 80%. Everybody get that? In any endeavor, there's about a half dozen things that are going to make 80% of the difference. So, for example, in your good health, there's not a million things you need to do. There's only about a half dozen things. Proper hydration, proper nutrition, proper rest, connection, meaning. What am I missing? Exercise. There's just a half dozen things. You do those things properly in the right way. You educate yourself on proper nutrition. You educate yourself on proper hydration. By the way, 95% of you are dehydrated right now, and so am I, by the way. 95% of us are dehydrated. But if we learn what we need to do in those six areas, you are going to be a very healthy person. In this business, in your marriage, let's look at marriage real quick. What is a half dozen things that you need to do in your marriage that's going to make about 80% of the difference? Just rattle them off. By the way, it doesn't always have to be a half dozen. Might be more, might be less. What? Yes, dear, that'll do it, right? No. What else? Okay, they say communication. This is interesting. I'm reading a book right now. I can't remember the title of it. But they say the number one myth in relationships is if you learn communication, you have a successful relationship. Bogus. And this guy is the number one authority, and I didn't mean to, you know, do that. I'm not trying to say you're wrong, but I just wanted to straighten this out. I know he can. I know his self-esteem can handle that. But yeah, this is why education is so important, because we just say what we have heard. Yes? So I want to know what really makes a happy marriage. So I buy the best books. I'm doing the 3-2-1-1, because I want my wife to be the happiest woman on planet Earth. And I realize the way I am, I'm not cutting the mustard. There's a lot that I can do to make my wife happier, and I want to pay the price. I want to do that for her. She deserves that. So I'm reading this book, and one of the first things they say is communication is a myth. This guy studied more marriages than anybody ever. He actually studies them in the house, puts them on heart monitors and blood, all this stuff. I mean, he's intensive. And some of the happiest marriages that he has observed, they don't have good communication skills. They just love each other, and they're good friends, and they talk about, not about the things that you would think they need to talk about, but they just talk and they share. But when it comes to conflict resolution, communication within conflict, they're awful. They're terrible. But they love each other and have this amazing marriage. So anyway, how'd I get on that? So half dozen things. So what else? Let's say communication. We can put that on here. Okay. Love. Okay. Intimacy. Acceptance. Can we put friendship at the top of the list? Respect. Right? Huh? Yeah, selflessness. So, but we could put some things on here on this list. Those are the half dozen things that are going to make 80% of the difference. So, in our business, what are the half dozen things, after my little training and I didn't get to finish it, but what are some of the half dozen things that you could study, that you could focus on, that could help you, you know, with 80% of the difference, make 80% of the difference? Okay, leadership. I'm going to start out with number one. I'm going to force this on all of you. Mindset needs to be number one. You need to study the mental aspect of success, philosophy of success, learn about how philosophy and attitude affects you. There's some great books out there on that. Number two, somebody else said leadership. Yes. What else? Okay, so can we call that prospecting? Okay, prospecting. You've got to learn prospecting in this business. What else? Okay, recruiting. You've got to learn how to recruit in this business. Okay, service. We'll not put that on here, because that's gonna. If you're gonna do all these things, you'll be fine in service. What else? Okay, so you've got to master the system, right? Learn the system, follow the system. So we can go on. You'll make your own list. I'm totally out of time, but I want to get through this. So once you have your list of your half dozen things, I would put on this list, if this were my list, I'd do mindset, leadership, prospecting, recruiting. I would do, because this is outside of, we're already doing the system. We're already, right? We're doing the basics, remember? So we're already doing the basics. This is on top of the basics. You're going to make an intense study of mindset, leadership, recruiting, prospecting. Communication would be here. And I would put number six, I'd put public speaking. I want you all to get good at interacting with people, speaking to people, talking in luncheons, talking in briefings, and all of this. Okay, so that's the half dozen things. Now, you take this and you plug it into this. Here's how this works. You're going to make a calendar, okay? You're going to make it just on a little piece of paper, and you're going to go 1, 2, 3. That's 6. Yeah, so those are your half dozen things. So this is what this is. This is the first quarter, Q1, or your first 90 days. You're going to make an intense study of mindset. You're going to read the best books available on mindset. Okay, this is what it looks like. You're going to read 3 of the best books on mindset. Excuse me, you're not going to read, you're going to study. You are going to study 3 of the best books ever written on mindset. I'll give you 3 of my favorite. As a Man Thinketh, Think and Grow Rich, The Science of Getting Rich. By the way, it could have been titled Think and Get Whatever You Want, and the other book could have been titled The Science of Getting Whatever You Want. So don't get hung up on the money for those of you that don't like those titles. Q1, study those books. You can get them for free at my website if you want them, cshughes.com. I give those ebooks away for free to everybody that joins the email list, or you can buy them at the bookstore. I recommend buying them at the bookstore because I like having a hard copy. Mindset. That's cue number one, quarter number one. You're going to read or study three books. You're going to study two audio or video courses during those 90 days on the topic of mindset. Three books, two audio or video courses, one online course, and one live seminar. This is what I've been doing for the last several years to master some other projects that I'm working on, and the growth is exponential. I'm able to learn in a year what most people don't learn in 10 because I focus on it. I break it down. Here's what I need to master. I plug it into the 3-2-1-1. I study three books, two on mindset, one online course, which is new because we didn't used to have online courses. But I mean, you can go to YouTube. You can learn so much. You need to overhaul your engine? Go to YouTube. You need to learn how to change a diaper? Go to YouTube. I mean, there's so much. Really, everything you want is online. Everything you need to learn is online. And one live course. Quarter number two. By the way, get this in your notes. Don't let your minimums be maximums. This system was designed for the person, the busiest person in the room. Even the busiest person in the room has time to do the 3-2-1-1 system for mastery over a 90-day period of time. All you're going to focus on at quarter one is mindset. Quarter number two, just look at your list. Leadership. Okay? You're hyper-focused on leadership. John Maxwell's got great books. Jim Rohn's got great stuff on leadership. 3-2-1-1. Three of the best books on leadership. Two of the best audio-video programs on leadership. One online course on leadership. One seminar on leadership. That's what you're going to do in those 90 days. What did I tell you to do with your money in the beginning of this training today? Invest it in education. Here's your education. You don't have to go to college to get this. I'm telling you, you do this, and you do this right, you can be making more money in a year, 2-3 years than you've ever made in your entire life. How can I say that? Because it happened for me. By following this exact recipe, this has been refined over the years. Quarter number three, you go prospecting. You get the best books on prospecting. You know what else I'd add to this list? Remember, it doesn't always have to be a half dozen things. Is number seven, I would study the industry. I buy some industry books. One of my favorite is How to Build a Multi-Level Money Machine by Randy Gage. I love that book. How to Build a Multi-Level Money Machine by Randy Gage. But I think you need to know what's going on in the industry, and you'll really appreciate how good this business is when you start to study the industry. So does this make sense to everybody? Yes or yes? Okay, and you know what to do? What do you do here? What's here? Recruiting. And how long are you focusing on that? Are you allowed to do more than three books, two audios, videos, one online? Are you allowed to do more? Get this in your notes. The more you invest, the more you can take out of this thing. Okay, this is the minimum. If you can do more, do more. Okay. All right, I should probably pause right there because we're over. I want to recommend on mindset, I want to recommend a couple audios. I actually brought them with me. Mindset, I gave you my three favorite books. I'm going to give you two audios that I have specifically designed to fit this bill right here, the two audios that go with mindset. Because everybody says, what's a great audio on mindset? And there's some great ones out there. But I wanted to, I crafted two audio programs that I think fit the bill better than anything. How many of you have some of my audio programs? Show of hands. Okay, so a lot of you already have them. So I have, we just came out with our newest one a couple of months ago. It's called Occupy Your Own Life. How many of you have that one? Okay, a few of you. Is it okay? Is it helpful? Okay, the feedback I've gotten on that audio is mind-boggling. But so I have a 5-CD audio program called Staying Up in Down Times. I wrote this or created this audio. It was a book originally, but I turned it into an audio book because there are so many people that were down and out with the recession. And I had so many people say, I can't get a job. And to me, that is such, it's like living in a cage to say that. I can't get a job. It's like it's so limiting. It sounds so pathetic. It's like you can't get a job because you say that all the time. You think that all the time. It's like, you're putting that out there and the little genie shows up and says what? Your wish is my command. Oh, you think you can't get a job? I'll show you you can't get a job. It's kind of like when your parents said, I'll give you something to cry about. You go, stop that crying. I'll give you something to cry about. So it's 5 CDs, Staying Up in Down Times. It is not an audio program. It's an audio learning course. it will tweak your brain in a way that you might not expect. I wanted to take it even further because one of the most powerful bits in that audio program is the part on responsibility. How many of you have heard that? And people were like, I want to hear more on responsibility. So I created this other program, Occupy Your Own Life, and it focuses on mindset and responsibility. My marketing coaches, and this is outside of legalship, my marketing coaches, I didn't know how to price them, and they said, you're an idiot if you price your 5-CD audio learning program any less than $197. And I choked. I was like, really? I'm like, who pays $197 for 5 CDs? And he said, if you price it any lower than that, you know, you're dumb. And that's what it is on my website. You go to my website, you want staying up and down times, it's $197. The Occupy Your Own Life is a one CD. It's only $27. What I do for Legal Shield Associates, I'm here. I love Legal Shield. I was able to do what I'm doing right now because of what I taught you here today. I want to get the audios into the hands of everybody that I possibly can. So for both of them, I'm not selling one or the other. I'm only selling both of them. Instead of $200-something for both of them, I've brought a few. I don't have enough for all of you that want them probably, but for $47. So if you guys want that education, you can have that education for $47. And I'm 7 minutes over, Dave. I apologize, but I'll be out there. And some people like to have stuff signed. I'm happy to do that. My wife even packed me with a marker. So I have a marker. I'd be happy to do that. But I wish that you'll, I hope that you'll get it. And as Jim Rohn said, I don't need the money. I take the money, but I don't need the money. The reason I create the programs is because this is the story of how I did it. Over the years, people said, how did you do it? I put it in the audio so that you can hear, this is what I believe, this is what I feel, this is how I think, and this is what I've done over the years to do this. So we'll have a few of them out there. I just want to thank you all for listening. I apologize. I still have about 2.5 hours worth of content. But I gave you what I felt was the most important for today in this season of Legal Shield. And I want to thank you all for your time and attention for having me. Thank you. Come on up, Dave. Huh? Oh, yeah.
Good stuff, dude. Good stuff. I'll tell you. We talked the other day. Mr. Hughes has a training course out there, New Economy U. I know a lot of you are taking it. Some fabulous information. But he's got some new stuff that's going to be coming out here in the next couple months. And we've already talked about him coming back and doing a special training that's never been done ever for anybody in this business after he releases all that information. Would you guys like to have me back here to do a totally in-depth training for that? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And so we'll let you guys know when that's... We're looking at some dates coming up here in the next few months. And so I didn't feel bad that he didn't unload everything today because we already know that, hey, in the next few months, we're going to get him back here. And I know this much. We're definitely going to want to make sure that anyone on our team that isn't here is, like, here on that date to make sure that they get that information. Now, a lot of times we'll give away a coffee table book to some of the incredible places in Utah, but being in the fact that he lives up in Heber, he sees a lot of those beautiful places. We decided to get him a few other things. Since he took time away from his valuable kids today, we loaded up the whole family with the gift basket. Now, I went and bought all this awesome University of Utah stuff. Then I watched the game last night, and I had to take it all back to the store. I'm sorry, I just couldn't. I couldn't give it to him. I got back to the store, and it was all on sale at a blue light special, half off. So he's been taking his kids to some of the football games and stuff like that, getting into it. And so we've got everything from the smallest kid all the way up to him and Sky. We've got something in here from them. I'll tell you, I almost had to beat my kids up to get some of this stuff. When my little girl saw the pillow pet, Cosmo, she thought it was for her. And I'm like, I'm sorry, this is for somebody else. So I gotta give it. So your kids may start some fights and stuff, but we got footballs for your boys to toss around the house and in the pool and stuff like that, right? We got shirts in here and stuff for your wife and some of the other kids, and then I got you some classy pajamas. Check out them pajamas.
My wife says to me, why do you have so many pajama pants? And I say, this is my uniform, baby. What I wear to work.
Absolutely. When you get to work from home, yeah, this is the stuff you get to take around and stuff like that. So we'll let you take the gift back home. Let your kids know we appreciate them sharing your time with us today. Thank you. I'll tell you, in fact, I'm gonna show you. Do we have the projector? I got to show you guys. Some of you might have seen it on Facebook. Is that projector on over there? Bam, I got to show you this. All right. So I put the Y up on my house that I've been telling you guys about. Let me see if there. Oh, here we go. All right, Cougar fans. It's the middle of the night, and we've been working for quite a while, for weeks, on the new Y. It's just got installed up on top of my house to let everyone in the neighborhood know this is BYU territory. So if you're ready to see the new Y, here we go.
You can see it from the moon.
Look at that beautiful thing up there. You can see it from all over the city. It's a beautiful looking Y.
All righty.
Not everyone can appreciate the talent.
All right, when I need the website, let me pull up the website. All right. I spent a long time building that thing. It's all high-intensity LED lights and stuff, but you can literally see it from, like, all over the valley. I had a Utah fan move in next door, and he hung up his flag last week. I was like, oh, no, you don't. We are not putting that flag up there without a consequence. The Y is now going up, and it's fun. We have a very friendly rivalry in our neighborhood, but I do take my kids and toilet paper their house the night before the game, just to make sure that they understand that it's a friendly rivalry. It's fun. The next couple months, you guys, we have just star-studded cast coming in. And I know a lot of you are going to wish, oh, my gosh, I wish I would have done a little bit more. Coming out of Dallas, there's going to be some huge announcements in Dallas. But I'm going to lay out first and foremost, mark this down in your calendar, October 13th. That's going to be our next Super Saturday. Now, we've had Steve Milia come in here, and we've had Mike Milia. And where is... And the next one is going to be Kim Milia. October 13th, Kim Milia. Now, I keep forgetting the name of that. She's on the Executive Advisory Committee, something like that. Executive Advisory Board, Kim Milia, $500,000 ring earner. And this is going to be the next Super Saturday. So we not only do we have Dallas next week, but then we have Kim Milia coming in. And I'm going to give you guys a sneak peek at November also. We're following up November with Rip Mason. There. The CEO of the company. Just so you guys can understand, hey, look, going into when I know some people get distracted in wintertime, they think, oh, you know, it's cold outside, and I got Thanksgiving, and I got Christmas. I'll tell you, these next 4 months are typically my most profitable months of the year because people are back into the routine. Vacation, summer vacation is over. Kids are back in school. People get back into that work mode, that focus mode. And you know what I found out? People want more money during the holiday season. They want a better Christmas for their kids. They want New Year's resolutions. And so the next 4 months are usually where I find people more open, more receptive than ever before. So here's what we're doing. Now, I encourage you, hey, look,
start building for, you know, like Mr. Hughes said, the 90-day runs. Well, I can't say, okay, hey, look, you know, what can I do in the next, you know, 2 weeks or 4 weeks? Next 4 weeks, boom, we're going to have two major events, our Super Saturday and Dallas. I'm telling you, it's going to be ridiculous coming out of Dallas. But then let's build for Kim Millia and have this place just absolutely swamped. But coming out of that, we're going to have the CEO of the company here. He's flying in on his private jet. And we're going to set some parameters on what it's going to be able to take to go have dinner with him. And we haven't announced those yet. I got to talk to his, you know, attendant that plans everything and stuff for him and make sure that I can pull some of the stuff off that I want to do. But I want to reward the people that are in Performance Club. I want to reward the people that are out there busting their hump and have something really special with just him. And how often can you say that, you know, you were able to do that? Well, it's not going to happen because you decided, you know, the day before, hey, look, I'm going to go out there and do it. It's going to happen because you say now, hey, look, I'm going to be one of the top producers in the state. I'm going to be one of the top recruiters in the state. And, you know, I love what Mr. Hughes was talking about. What is your mindset? Is your mindset, I'm not a good recruiter, I'm not a good producer, I can't get in Performance Club? Or is it just, it's an automatic thing. It's an automatic thing that you're always invited to those elite receptions and stuff like that. So October 13th, we're going to have Kim Millia here. Today is the only day that you can get individual tickets for $20, or you can get a group of five for the price of four, which drops it down to about $15 a ticket. I mean, they're cheap. After today, on the website or at the front door, they're going to be $25. For me, I look at it and say, hey, look, the price is irrelevant. I mean, Mr. Hughes was in the business way back when we went to the events. They were $60 to all the events that we went to in Southern California. The price was never the issue. The issue that was always on my mind is, how many people am I bringing back next month? Because I didn't ever want to be sitting there alone. I wanted a team with me at every single event. He talked about the things that we did. We did everything wrong in the business. We made signs up. We put them on telephone poles. We did telemarketing things. We did everything wrong in this business. But we were extremely active, and we were always putting butts in seats. And over the time, we figured out what to do, and that eventually built a six-figure income that, as you know, you see Mr. Hughes, he retired. He just moved up to Heber, a nice little, you know, cabin up in the mountains, and just basically said, now I'm going to work on my books and my audios and stuff, because guess what? I worked hard. I worked hard for a few years filling the seats so that today I can just be a stay-at-home dad. The question is, are you going to work hard at filling the seats for the next 2-3 years so that you can do whatever you want for the rest of your life? Or are you going to say, you know what? I'm just shooting for a goal for me. I'm coming back, you know, alone next month. If you've been here a month or two in a row all by yourself with no one out there, I say, what did you tell yourself this last month? What did you tell yourself last month? Did you say, hey, look, I'm coming back as a top recruiter? I know that Joe was freaked out last month when he found out he was the top recruiter. True or true? And I know that Landon this month was like, holy cow, I had a few different people come up and say, oh my gosh, I got that email, said I made it in the top three. It's like, I didn't think I had it in me to make it in the top three. Guess what? You do. You do. Do you believe that you do? If you believe you do, then go put forth the actions and do it. And I'd strongly encourage you, don't plant a seed for a harvest of one. Mr. Hughes talked about his harvest. If you go out there and you plant one seed for one carrot, don't be disappointed if you only harvest one carrot. If you plant 1,000 seeds, I'd be disappointed if I had one carrot. What seeds are you planting for the next 30 days so that you fill your harvest bucket next month when we have Miss Kim Millia here October 13th? It's going to be an amazing event, you guys. I appreciate all of you guys coming out here today. If Mr. Hughes has the time after he's been out there, we'd like to go out and have a bite to eat because his schedule did not allow him to contact us at the beginning of the week. Said, I'm not going to be able to do something Friday night, but let's see if we can do something Saturday afterwards. So we'll try to put something together with his permission. But thank you all for coming out. Grab your tickets before you leave, and we'll see you all October 13th right here with Miss Kim Millia.